Hello, gay men. Welcome to Coming Inside Out. I'm your host, Brian Janes, along with my co-host, Mark Dembo.
Hey, Brian. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I am doing great. And as anybody who may be watching us today, you see we have a third person here with us today. We are thrilled to have our first guest on the Coming Inside Out podcast, and joining us today is Sean Williams. Sean is a man whose journey embodies courage, healing, and the power of community. Sean came out in 2019 after decades of living another story, and that deeply personal transformation became the heart of his work. Brian founded Bent Couch Counseling, where he creates space for men and LGBTQ plus folks to feel heard, held, and whole. He's also the co-founder of Gay Fathers Worldwide, a lifeline for over 1,100 men who, like him, came out after having children. And in fact, that's how I first met Sean, and I met Brian through Gay Fathers Worldwide. Sean is joining us today from his home in Melbourne, Australia. And he lives in Melbourne with his partner. Their blended family brings to our conversation a depth of insight that only comes from having truly lived both sides of the closet door. Sean, we are really thrilled that you're with us to be our very first guest on the podcast.
I am so humbled, Mark and Brian. Thank you for having me. This is amazing. This is, this is beautiful. This is connection and community right here. Love it. Love it.
And before we had started hit the record button today, we were all chatting a little bit, and Sean, it might be helpful, you know, for everybody. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your story. You came out in 2019. Yeah. What sparked that shift for you? And tell us a little bit more about your journey and how it got you to where you are today.
Yeah. So thanks, Mark, for that beautiful introduction. And as I said, I'm so humbled to be here. I share my journey often because I know that it helps so many other men, just like you two in this podcast. But in 2019, I'd hit rock bottom. For me, it was a really challenging time mentally, where I was, from the outside, I had a great job. I had a great family. I had the white picket fence. I had the dog. I was the perfect neighbor. So if one of my neighbors saw me, I was smiling and waving on my way to work. But I was dreadfully sad. I was hiding. I was incredibly broken. And I talk about that often because I didn't realize that breaking point was my changing point. I thought many times about ending my life. And because I thought that was the only way out. And I got to some very dark spaces until I reached out to a mental health professional and started talking about what I'm going through. And I had to come out because I was mentally exhausted. I was pushing everything away. And then when I started to talk about my sexuality, it was like a light flicked on. My goodness me, I'm a normal human being and I'm gay. And when I started to acknowledge that I'm still a normal human being, there's nothing wrong with me, I started to make some changes. And one of those changes was saying to my family and to my ex-wife, I'm gay. I've hidden. This will hurt. And I'm sorry it's going to hurt. It will hurt. But I had to make those changes. I couldn't make those changes for anyone else. I couldn't stop the hurt that I had hidden from myself and from others. I had to make those changes. And they were some really, I can tell you now, there were days where I would just be by myself crying nonstop. But that was healing. That was healing for me. I don't have a beautiful story about coming out. It was quite awful. It was, you know, my kids were crying. My ex-wife was crying. She was angry. You know, almost 6 years later, she's still angry. Mm-hmm. There are friends that I have lost. I've got my children find it challenging at times. And so there is still a lot of work being done. But I am me and I am damn well happy to be me, because this is who I am. I can't change that. No one can change that. You know, I am a gay man, and I am male to male attracted, and I'm damn well happy about that. But yeah, my coming out story is not a pretty one. And I'm not ashamed to talk about that. It's not pretty, and it's still not pretty. You know, it's not rainbows. It's not rainbows every day for me. There's some days where I still cry. There's days where I still buckle under the weight of what I did and how I pushed my true self down as not important. I'm a real people pleaser, and I'm learning to change that now, but I would always make sure that everyone else was okay. I went into even my work was about project management, where I made sure everyone else was okay, and I was the person in the background, you know, making everything look pretty. And I was buckling under my work. I was buckling under the person I'd become. I was buckling under the family I'd created. You know, everything was coming tumbling down on me. And so when I started doing the work, I thought, there must be other men dealing with this. There must be other men dealing with this. And then I met my partner, my now partner, and on a walk one day, and we'd met on an app, and we met with another father, and we were walking and we were talking about what we were going through with children and our ex-wives. And that power, that connection for me was like, my God, I finally feel heard.
Yes.
I can hear your story and you hear my story. And that was incredible for me. And I said to my partner now, I said, I'm going to create a group on Facebook and go and reach out to other men. He was like, I'm not on Facebook. Stay away from Facebook. Don't do it. And I went, you know what? No one tells me what to do. So I set up this group and, that night there was, you know, a dozen men that reached out. And this was a dozen men that I knew that I'd been talking to, but they joined, and then other men joined. And then, you know, this was 2020 when we started the group. I love connection. I love what that connection does. I love people talking to me about their stories, because without that connection, I didn't realize so many of us are going through what we're going through.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, my world started to open up. So it was closing in on me. That was, you know, I was crying, thinking, what the bloody hell have I done? And then my world started to open up, and it was like, hang on a moment, I'm not the only one going through this. So I want to talk. They want to talk. Wow, the power of that, the power of talking. So all of a sudden I went from this man who was hiding everything, and on the outside it looked amazing. You know, I was the husband and the father of the century and the work colleague that had, you know, was smiling. And then in my car I was, crying. Then I went to this mess, and then I slowly started to crawl out. But it doesn't mean it's not messy now. There's still a lot of mess. But my story, I find, resonates with other men, and so I continue to talk about it. And from 2019, I was 50. You know, I was 50 back then. I pushed my life and pushed everyone into the forefront then. And when I turned 50, it was like, why am I pushing everyone into the forefront? I should be pushing myself into the forefront. I should be like, this is me. What am I doing? Why aren't I respecting who I am? So now I push myself into the forefront. I go, look at me. I am awesome. I am awesome with all my men.
Yeah.
I'm still awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it is messy. So that's kind of a bit of my story. But, you know, there's still a lot of hurt. You know, still a lot of hurt with, and, you know, we've talked, Mark and Brian, about you know, there's differences in all of our journeys. And so for me, there's still a lot of hurt and a lot of I'm not going to say destruction, but a lot of unraveling that's still happening in my life and family. Will that ever change? I don't know. But I've just got to know whether, and it feels selfish at the start, but it's about working on me first.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, you raised some really key things here that I know certainly resonated, you know, for me, and I'm sure for so many, you know, on this journey. You know, you talked about the tendency to be a people pleaser. And I think that is so, so prevalent amongst the gay population. And I think probably even more so amongst those of us that come out later in life that have families, because, you know, being a people pleaser can be in some ways, in many ways, almost a defense mechanism. It's a way to hide. It's a way to, because we're trying to bury who we are. Mm. So we're trying to make up for that. Right. Mm. And the other point that, you know, you made, and I remember for myself when I first came out, it was the feeling like, oh my God, am I the only person dealing with this? And, you know, when I found Gay Fathers Worldwide, I mean, that was truly a lifesaver. And it's not, you know, we were talking about this before we started recording a little bit, you know, it's not about, okay, it's going to come and fix me, but creating those spaces, right, where we can just be who we are, and we can hurt, and we can cry.
And the power, the power of crying is incredibly powerful. It just, we have to cry, but we're told as men and then as boys and the male species that we need to toughen up. We're also told that that we shouldn't be gay. You know, look where that got us. You know, you need to be the best version of you. What does that look like? My best version of me some days is crying in the corner. That's okay. That's okay. And you know what? I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about my struggles. And if I have one man to listen to me, then that's great. And I do have a therapist that I work with, and I'm very grateful for that. But that's 1 hour every second month. So who am I going to talk to? Who do I want to talk to today about what I'm going through? It might be someone on a, you know, from Gay Fathers Worldwide that I'm messaging, hey, I just need someone to talk to. It might be my partner to say, today I am feeling crap, and that's okay.
And to be able to say what you need to say without it being alarming to somebody, because I have found people that, you know, you want to be able to tell them just how you're feeling in the moment. Not what you're going to do with it, but just be allowed to say, in this moment, this is how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And not to have that person turn into an alarmist and run with that. So it's finding safe people to talk to. Because I think a lot of people talk to people and they aren't the safest person for them, and then they shut down.
Yeah.
And so you want to seek out those people that will listen to you. And just, you know, emotionally hold you.
And Brian, we talked about that before. It's about finding that safety just to talk. You don't need to be fixed. And Mark touched on that as well. Yeah. You don't need to be fixed. And you don't want someone going, oh, my God, are you all right? What can I do? Actually, I don't want you to do anything. I just want to be able to share with you what I'm going through today. Yeah. I am normalizing my feelings.
In this deep, dark moment of right now, this is where I'm at.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And the power of that is what I have tried to create in Gay Fathers Worldwide, because damn all of you, I was going to become a millionaire because my story was my story and I was only one. But damn all of you, I came along and took that power away from me, and now I can't write that book about you know, because I'm the only one. But geez, I was grateful that I wasn't the only one. I was grateful that I had people that I could cry with. And I'm grateful that I can actually share with. I can read a story and go, yep, that resonates with me. But I'm not, sometimes even on Gay Fathers, I'll just give it a love heart because you've touched me with what you're talking about. Another man's gone, wow, that's really powerful. And so, you know, I remember when we first started the group, this always made me laugh. My partner, Dean, and I would always sit in bed in the morning. Gay Fathers Worldwide became big quite quickly. And we'd be responding to every post because we were people pleasers and we had to do that. Now Gay Fathers Worldwide is very organic. We have, you know, 12, 13 administrators around the world. Matt's one of them, which is amazing. If someone makes a comment, we don't have to jump in and comment anymore because there's 30, 40, 50 other men around the world that will comment, like, and connect. So that power of community, the power of us talking about this, that's a community. For me, community and connection outweighs, you know, all the other shit I'm going through because I've just got a connection now, or I can read something and go, yep, I love that. Thank you for sharing. But am I going to fix it? I can't fix it.
Yeah,
I can be there. But and that's the power to me of connection. I don't want to be fixed. I'm doing all that work in the background. If you can validate me and say, well done. Well done for crying today. Well done for getting up in this morning. Well done for telling me that you're struggling today. That's all I want.
Yeah.
I don't want to be fixed because there's so many times in this world, and we come into this world as far, you know, we're fathers. We're trying to fix everything. We're trying to be that people pleaser. We're trying to, you know, our kids tell us they've, you know, hit their toe or something. We're trying to fix that. We know that there are parts of us that try to fix everything. I don't want to be fixed. I just want to be heard. So, so can I be heard today? And if someone's not going to listen, they're going to try and fix me, I'll walk away because I don't want to be fixed. That's not what I want.
But isn't you know, the process of being heard and know that you are being heard, in some ways, that's actually part of the fixing.
Yes.
If you will, right? Because it says if you know that you're being heard and in a non-judgmental way, in a place of caring, that says it validates what you are feeling.
Yeah.
And to be able to say it's okay to feel that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's providing that safe space. Non-judgmental, and you know, as we say in Gay Fathers Worldwide, it's non-judgmental, safe, and non-sexual. So it's a space where you can just be a man, but I do not want to see you and your budgie smugglers, or you know, we call them budgie smugglers here in Australia.
I mean, there's time and a place for that, but right,
there's other sites for that. But our site is about being heard, about sharing, about reaching out, and I see men every day go, you know, just type a quick sentence. I'm feeling sad. Is there anyone to talk to?
Yeah.
That's then posted. And then there's 30 men. There's people that write DM and direct messages to this man. That's community. That's about just being a safe space. That safe space is when the change starts happening. And we were talking about this, you know, because, you know, now that I'm a counsellor for men as well, and I will plug the business. You know, I'm all about plugging my business. But it's important just to have that space to provide safety where you can talk about what you're going through. I'm not going to fix you. I'm not going to fix you. Even as a paid counsellor, my job is not to fix you. It is to provide that space for you to talk openly. Whether that's about sexual health, whether that's about mental health, whether that's about a mate that's just, you know, done something wrong by you, or strategies. It's about providing that space, and that's when you start to see these incredible changes happening. And in 5 years of Gay Fathers Worldwide, I have seen some men change incredibly. And I'm grateful and humbled that that space exists. Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Yeah.
This is something good that has come out of your coming out. You have created the space that you would have never created. It was probably not even a thought in your head before you came out.
No.
Very similar to this podcast. It's like when I discovered through apps, my God, there's other closet married men. What? I was just like, once I found a connection with these other people, I was like, oh, I'm not the only one. I was mm-hmm. so excited. It was like, I wanted to shout it from the rooftops. It was like, how can I get this out to more people? Because if I thought I was all alone in this, there has to be another person out there that is feeling the same way. Yeah. And just the tidal wave of people that have, you know, come out of the woodwork and said, oh, you know, even the ones that are anonymous and still very much closeted. Yes. Mm. This is my life too. I have a similar experience. I mean, the joy that you receive in creating that space and connecting those men and women, because we have women that listen to our podcast,
but just
creating that space for these people. Tell us about that. Tell us the joy that comes from that.
So I'm not afraid to share my story, as I've said, and I was on one story that resonates with me, and I've talked about this before, is I went on national television to talk about coming out in Australia, and it was about 12 months after it hit the television, and this gentleman rang me, and he said to me that he wanted to know that. And he's now a client of mine as well. But he had seen me talking, and on that day he had planned to commit suicide because he didn't know a way out. And it took him 12 months to contact me, and I had created a space for him to actually open up and talk. So the power of me sharing my story, it brought me to tears because creating that space means that I changed one man's life. Mm-hmm. That day I went on national television to talk about who I was, created a whole lot of ruckus with my family and some of my friends, and I know it was challenging for them. But the important place for me is that I created a safe space for someone to reach out and say, thank you, you saved my life. I didn't go on there to save a life. I went on there just to talk openly about my story, because that's part of my journey was to share. I didn't realize the power that I had back then. Now I look back on that and I think, wow, that's incredibly powerful. Mm-hmm. I'm just one person. Imagine that, you know, you've got a podcast that's going out to hundreds and hundreds of people. The power of talking openly and providing a space where people go, I'm normal.
Right.
There's other people feeling like this. So I'm not the only one. This is awesome.
Yeah.
It's opening up and normalizing what we're going through. That, you know, we are normal men in this world. But history has pushed us down, and pushed us, all the rainbow community down. We've always been here. You know, the whole spectrum of the rainbow has always been here, but we've been pushed down. And we've been marginalized.
Mm-hmm.
That will never stop. But am I going to sit quietly? Not now. I sat quietly for 50 years. And what did it do to me? It sent me to a dark space. It sent me to a dark space of really hurting.
Yeah.
And you took a time of hurt in your life, and rather than being destructive with it, you created something amazing with it. It's like you had to really go deep down inside of yourself.
But I didn't realize. It's interesting you say that. I didn't realize. All I wanted to do was talk to other men. I just wanted to talk to other men that were going through what I was going through. And a bit like going on national television, I just wanted to share my story. I didn't realize the power. I didn't realize the power of creating that space. I certainly understand it now. And as I say to my children, I unreservedly talk nonstop about my story. It's not to embarrass my children. It's not to make them feel any lesser. It's actually to remind people that there are dads like us that are going through that hurt. And I was angry. I was angry as a father because I wasn't dealing with what I was dealing with.
Me too.
That's pointing that. Yeah. My poor family had to go through my anger because I wasn't dealing with who I am. So now that I look back on it and I think, oh my God, I needed a real kick in the tail. But that kick in the tail came from when I was ready to come out. And that kick in the tail now is me saying, I'm a better person now because I've now created these spaces. Back then, it was just a space to talk. I love it. I love these spaces. I love these podcasts. I love talking about who we are. We're amazing men.
Yeah, I agree.
And to be able to, Sean, as you're saying, it's to normalize it. It's we are who we are, and you shouldn't. It's easy, there shouldn't be shame. There shouldn't be this guilt around all of that of who we are. But with that said, right? I mean, look at the three of us sitting here. It took we're three examples. It took us a good part of our lives until we were finally able to say that this is who I am. Mm-hmm. And, one of the things I've seen through, some of this work and meeting other closeted men, it's hard to be able to take that step. And I'd love to, Sean, from your work and your experience, what would you say to somebody who is still living in the closet and knows this is who they are, but you look at the pain, the challenges, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't go away once you come out, and it can create a whole new set of real life challenges.
Yeah.
What would you say to somebody that's struggling with that?
Yeah, and that's a really good question, Mark, because I get that every day when I'm in my work now, and I share my story. I share openly my story, and some days it's a dark place. But I don't share everything, but I do share enough for people to realize it's not rainbows coming out. It's not a celebration. It can be really challenging, but every man needs to know that their journey is their journey. Some men may choose not to come out, and that's okay. That's okay. You need to normalize. That's okay.
Because I would have been one of those people. I had no intentions of it. I shared this in the podcast. My ex-wife outgrew me as a person. And her outgrowing me as a person meant that she was no longer content with me where I was in life. She wanted somebody that was, thriving. And in that time, I wasn't thriving. And I think along with other listeners that may resonate from this, mine was fear.
Yeah.
I wasn't the shame and the guilt that I was worried about. It was the fear of all of it. Mm-hmm. And what I hear from a lot of our listeners is that they are stuck in that fear.
And it's
what is going to happen.
It's gut-wrenching. It would keep me awake at night. I would lie awake listening to my wife breathing, thinking, I've created this. I was fearful for what it was going to do. And it did everything I expected it to do. It was a fairly black time when I came out.
Yeah.
It was challenging and it's still challenging.
Yeah.
But am I happy? God, yes. God, yes. And that sounds really selfish. But for the first time in my life, I realized that I am who I am and I've got to keep being who I am and shout that from the rooftops. I'm not a person that is in any way extroverted. So if you see me in a crowd, I'm usually the person at the back with a couple of people. But if you want me to talk about my journey, I'll be right up the front there. I'll be on that podium saying, this is my journey and I'm proud of who I am.
Yeah.
Because I am so sorry for what I did to Sean Williams by hiding who I am. Because that's just me. That's just who I am. I can't change that. Religion, politics, culture can't change who I am. And I was going to go to the grave with my story.
Me too.
And I'm so grateful that I didn't. I am so grateful every day that I have this voice. And I didn't realize what this voice was. It scared the bejesus out of me. When men started reaching out to me, I was like, I'm just one man talking about my story, but I was providing that safety. That one man saw this program, there was a place of another man resonating with my story.
Yeah.
And so it becomes normal for us men to talk about our mental health. Around 40 to 50, it seems to be, the majority of men start to think, what's next? What's next? And that's really important. It's not what's next for everyone. It's what's next for me. And that feels selfish. Incredibly selfish.
And that comes back to what we were talking about before, right? Being the people pleaser. It's, and not to put us into traditional societal norms and expectations, but you're the husband, you're the father. This is what you're supposed to do. This is what we were programmed to do. And it's hard to break out of that and say, I need to be me.
Yeah.
I need to live as who I am. And I know for me, one of the things I've struggled with sometimes myself is like, well, wait a minute. I lived my life all these years this way. Why now? Mm-hmm. But then I say, wait a minute. It's for whatever time I have left, right? Mm-hmm. I need to do this for myself. And I think I remember when I came out, to your point, Sean, recognizing when I made the decision that I was going to come out to my wife, the phrase that I used to myself, and I've said this before, was I knew I was going to be throwing a hand grenade. Mm-hmm. Into our life and to her life and the life of my kids, right? Just blowing it all up. Mm. And it's been hard. Mm-hmm. But to your point, hard doesn't mean regret.
No.
Yes.
No. Yeah. Hard means dealing with what you're going through and talking about it and opening up and sharing. Yeah. And dealing with the fallout, not running away from the fallout. So I was a person that would run away from the hard arguments. I was always like, I'm not dealing with that. What I learned was to actually deal with it is actually incredibly powerful. Mm-hmm. But I had to find the time and the place to deal with it. And it was a hand grenade. It was literally a tsunami. That hand grenade set off a tsunami wave after wave, and some of those waves still slap me today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. I need to normalize that. I need to deal with that. And some days it is overwhelming.
Yeah.
But I talk about it, and I acknowledge those days when I feel overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I acknowledge and I talk about it.
I was so suppressed in my life that even after the divorce, and I shared this in a prior podcast, even after the divorce from my wife, I was walking my dog and I was thinking to myself, what is my life going to look like for my children going forward? At some point in time, I'm going to meet a woman. I'm going to get remarried. My kids are going to have a stepmother. What is that going to look like, Brian? What is that going to look like? And I'm walking my dog and I'm thinking about it. And I thought, this is like a do-over for me. Right now, this is like a reset button. Brian, if you were gifted with being able to like start it all over again at 50 years old, would you date a man or would you date a woman? And in that moment, I was like, I would date a man. I wouldn't date a woman. And it was like, holy crap. Like the lights went on and the whole thing. And it was like, from that moment forward, I thought, I'm 50 years old. However much time I have left in my life is a gift going forward. And I don't want to spend another moment of my life not being me. Mm-hmm. And that was my catalyst to like, okay, I have to come out. I can't sit on this. I want to scream it from the rooftops at this point. And I had spent so many years thinking I was all alone, thinking that there was something wrong with me. I'm not gay. It's like there's some confusion. There's some miswiring going on inside of me. I'm a married man. I have kids. I can't have feelings for another man. It was like, I tried to rationalize what was going on inside of me for years. It was such a blessing.
And the only thing that was wrong with you was you were not being who you are.
Mm. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Mm. And it seeped out in 100 other ways.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And isn't it wonderful to be able to actually say the words, I am gay and I am gay.
Yes.
I am normal. Yeah. I'm a normal human being.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think for me growing up in the 80s, seeing the AIDS epidemic was heartbreaking. And I remember thinking, I will never, ever come out. And that was the start of me pushing it down. And then I would hear people talking about the gay community and you know, how wrong it was that these men were, you know, hugging each other and kissing each other. And so more and more you hear society's expectations and then religion and politics. And so as a child, I remember I was 8 or 9 hearing some of these people saying things about gay men. My brain started to think, you know, and I'm developing here.
Right.
And all of a sudden I'm thinking, okay, that's not right. Okay, so I'm going to push that down. I knew back then, I knew at an early age that I was gay, that I had been male-to-male attracted. I kept pushing that down because that's what society wanted. Society wanted me to be a straight man. How dare society tell me who I can be? How dare they? So now when I hear religion, politics, society, culture telling me who I'm supposed to be, I go,
right.
Not your right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Exactly.
This is who I am. Yeah.
Right.
And if you're going to come along for the ride and be with me, great. If you're not, see you later.
Exactly.
This is who I am and I'm going to celebrate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
As you said.
But it's hard. It's hard to say, I'm not going to go along with what society expects of me.
Yeah.
Oh, and we're supposed to be the majority because that's right. Where we're accepted.
Right, right. And it's what we've learned. It's what's been, you know, again, programmed from the time you're however old, right? It's what we're told. And you grow up and you say, that's what I've got to do. And it's hard to break out of that. But
we don't want to disappoint the world. We don't want to show that we're different to anyone else. I'm different.
Shut up.
And I'm so
let me ask you, Sean, because this is my feelings of how I felt when I was growing up. I thought was every closeted man's feelings or they were going through the exact same thing. I remember at a young age, probably before 10 years old, starting to crawl into the closet. You know, I remember a comment being made to me by a cousin. I remember somebody saying something to me when I was out riding my bike. So it was like at those moments, I was like, okay, be a little less of yourself, Brian, you know, but pull back a little bit, Brian. You got to hide this, Brian. There are people I talk to that are in their 40s and they're like, oh yeah, I had no idea I was even gay. I didn't discover that I was gay until I was 47 years old or, you know, I was 50 years old. It was like, for me, I don't resonate with that because I always knew. So do you have clients that just discover at 50 years old that they're gay?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, my partner often talks about he didn't associate some of the feelings he had when he was younger. He appreciated the male physique and the male body, but he was very comfortable in his marriage, and he wasn't gay. I remember meeting him. He was having male-to-male interactions, but he wasn't gay. Because he didn't, and that, you know, it's not unusual to see men realizing later in life that they, you know, that connection with men is very, once again, very normal. But it's because we've been raised to believe that heterosexuality is the normal. What is normal? You know, religion and politics, and, you know, we won't go into all of that, but it creates a world that we all think we have to be a part of. But does that suit us as an individual? Are we looking at what we need as a human being? Like, what do I need as Sean Williams? What do you need as Brian James? What do you need as Mark Dembo? We try and fit into a perfect mold for none of us should be put into these models, you know, and it, you know, this even comes about when we're, you know, when gay fathers, because we set up the group for gay men, but there are so many versions of men that are coming out. Some are coming out as bi, some are coming out as polyamorous. You know, it's a spectrum, because it's even the word gay is putting people into a box,
right?
It's not my right to put anyone into a box. So we've looked at the gay fathers worldwide several times, and what do we, you know, how do we rename it to fix? I can't fix it, because it's huge. Like, there's so many different versions of us men coming out.
Yeah.
And I think some of these men don't realize who they are, because they've never really thought about who they are.
Yeah.
They've grown up and they've gone into their societal molds, and they keep going, and they're busy pleasing everybody else, until one day they go, wow, or they'll see a man that they find attractive, or, you know, and all of a sudden they're like, excuse me, wow, that's an unusual feeling for me. But who can I talk to? I'm not going to talk to anyone, but I'm going to shove it away.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they shove it away. And then what happens is, we know the more we shove away, it's a bit like grief. We push that grief away, it's going to come bubbling back up.
Mm-hmm.
Rain likes to bubble that information out. We don't know when it's going to come out.
That's it.
So you push that away, you don't talk about it, it's going to come out. And it may come out, you know, at some party or something. I'd rather it comes out in a therapy room, or comes out with a mate. But sometimes we get to that breaking point, and some men I talk to go, I didn't know. How didn't I know? And I go, because you're a human. This is your first time around the sun. You know, there's not a book about this.
Right. And because we spend so much of our lives living up to the roles that we're supposed to live, you know, similar for myself. I for a long time, I said, well, I didn't fully acknowledge who I was, but now I say I didn't embrace it.
Yeah.
Because that's really the way I feel now. It's really much more about embracing it. But then you look back and you're like, oh, wait a minute. It was always there.
Yes.
I just shoved it aside and told myself, nope, that's not who you are. This is who you are. This is the path you're supposed to be on.
Yeah. Yeah. But don't get me wrong. You know, I lived a life that I believed was for me. So I was incredibly happy. There were some amazing, beautiful times. Excuse me. But a bit like Brian, I always knew I was gay. But the more I tried to be what society expected, the more I put on that happy face, the more I could actually get on with a normal life. And I felt like I was doing a great job.
Yeah.
Until I realized the pressures of what was leaching out, which was Sean Williams is a gay man who should be celebrating who he is. And when that started leaching out, and when I started saying the words, I started to feel all different parts of the emotions. You know, I was sad, yeah. I was happy, I was angry, I was, mm-hmm. you know, I was incredibly depressed. I was going through different stages. How dare you do this to your family? How dare you become this man? I've been trying to push it away that I was, you know, I'd made this version of myself that wasn't me.
Yeah.
So that was the power for me, was just to be open and just to share. And that's why I share now. I share who I am. God damn it. You're not telling me, you know, I pushed myself away and look what it did. I hurt a whole lot of people, including me.
Sean, was there a day, because I referenced there was a day in my life where, you know, prior to this day, I would tell myself in my head, I'm gay, but I never spoke it out loud. And then there came a day, I was 47 years old, and I was in my car, and I was like, Brian, out loud, you're fucking gay. And I just screamed it out. And I was like, oh my God, that's the first time I heard myself say it out loud. I've said it in my head 1,000 times. Yeah. And I was 47 at the time. And I think the universe right then and there started a shift in my life.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, you've finally admitted this to yourself.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to get yourself out there, we're going to help you. Yeah. We're going to, you know, you, this is going to happen. So was there a time in your life where you were just like, yes, and that started the process, or how did that happen?
So the process for me wasn't, I remember looking in the mirror and saying often, I'm gay.
Out loud or to yourself?
Out loud. Out loud. Okay. I would say it often to myself, I'm gay. Excuse me.
At what age?
Late 40s.
Okay.
But then it wasn't until I went to my therapist and I had literally, I'd moved out of the family home and I went to my therapist who I'd been working with for a long time. And he said to me, I told him about how I'd moved out of the home a couple of days beforehand and I didn't know when I was going back. And he said to me, are you going back? And I said, no. And I said, because I am gay. Those words coming out to my therapist, he reeled back. He said a couple of expletives to me because I'd been working with him for about 2 years. And so I knew from the start that I was dealing with anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation. I was in some really dark spaces. I'd been working with him, but I didn't want to admit what the real issue was. The real issue for me was that I had to say the words, I am gay. Mm-hmm. That for me was the linchpin for me, saying that. And the very next day, I knew I had to keep telling the world. I had to tell my wife. I had to tell my children. I had to keep going because I knew if I didn't, I would continue to be depressed, anxious, angry.
Yeah.
So the day in the therapy room was really powerful for me. And I can't underestimate, and I still work with that same therapist. He's an amazing, amazing man. He's not a gay man, but he has walked with me through those years of depression, anxiety, coming out, the breakup of my marriage, the dealing of, you know, the financial stuff that I've had to go through. He's been there and he still walks with me, he's a psychologist, but he still doesn't fix me. He listens. And he's been, the power that he has was the reason that I realized I need to get into this space. I need to get into this space where I can create a space for men to talk, which is why I went from construction to counseling, because I said the words, I'm gay. And I want to provide a space for men to say that. I want to provide the space where men can come to me and say, I'm struggling because of my sexuality.
Yeah.
And then I want to share with them that they're not abnormal. They're normal human beings
going
through their life and opening up in a safe space.
That's so key.
The power of that therapist that day and me saying those words was the first time I'd said it out loud to another person. And that was the change. That was the clincher for me.
Yeah. Sometimes it's that one little shift, right? That makes all the difference. I mean, I remember for myself, it was one day I looked myself in the mirror and I was like, dude, you're gay. Mm. Own it. And that started to change everything. It was, then I did seek out a therapist actually after that and knew I had to come out to my wife, had to come out to my kids. And then eventually said, I need the world to know this is who I am. But finally saying those words, I'm gay.
Yeah.
It didn't solve everything. It's not like all of a sudden it was, all rainbows and sunshine, but it did change my life in how I felt about myself. Mm-hmm. And for the first time, I remember, and I think I've talked about this on the podcast before. It's like for the first time in my life, I felt whole and realized I always felt this kind of disassociation oftentimes from my own life. This brought it together because finally I was able to say, this is who I am.
Yes.
Yeah.
And finally feeling grounded in a way because for so long I felt like I was tethered, but I wasn't grounded.
Yeah. And I think the other thing we don't realize is how strong and resilient we actually are. So that resilience of coming out, that power of saying those words is incredibly powerful. That's resilience. And we know that that's going to hurt people. We know that's going to hurt us. We know the journey is going to be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And for many of us, it is a terrible shit show. And I call it a shit show. It's awful. But I'd rather be dealing with it and be honest about who I am than hiding it and being the angry, depressed, anxious-ridden person I was before and pushing myself down for society.
Yeah.
Pretending to be someone I wasn't. Wow, why would I do that? Why would I hide for everyone else when I'm taking away what I've been given, which is to be a normal human being and to celebrate who I bloody well am.
Yeah.
It's so powerful.
And again, to know that you're not alone.
Yes.
You're not alone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sean, before we wrap up for today, this has been such an enriching conversation. I can't think of a better person to have had on here as our first guest. Tell us how people can find out more about your work, about Gay Fathers Worldwide, how to get in contact with you.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. So I opened up my private practice, Bent Couch Counseling. So we were looking for a name that people could resonate with. Where I'm bent, I'm not straight, I'm incredibly happy being bent. So that's how Bent Couch came around. So Bent Couch Counseling is online and Australia-wide and can be found at bentcouch.com.au. But also on the website there, we also have the Gay Fathers, information about Gay Fathers, and the link, which is to go to Facebook. So we have a private group on Facebook. We meet as a community once a month, which is not enough, I know. We need to do more. But I'm trying to get my admins to step up and start running a few more meetings. We'll talk about that later, Mark. That's about community. So I run the Gay Fathers community group, and it is a community, and it's about connection. So there are men in this group that haven't come out yet, and they may never come out, but they've got a space to talk. It's also a space where men who've come out are dealing with a lot of stuff. It's a safe space to talk. It's a community. It's a community of men that understand. I also run a gay men's support group that we meet fortnightly. And so that's also on my website. It's about creating community, because when you get a connection and you talk normally about what you're going through, you start to open up. But you've got to find a safe space. So get out there and find a safe space. If you find it at bentcouch.com.au, that's great. But if you don't find that as a safe space, we live in a world where everything's online now. Get out there and find a safe space for you. So if you're not a gay father and you're looking for something else, find a community. Find a place where you can connect. Because what I've discovered is I couldn't find something. I created it. I didn't realize the power of that I created, but I love it. And organically, this space of gay fathers worldwide, I've met, you know, you two beautiful men there.
Yeah.
It's connection, you know, and so we're not trying to fix, just like in my business, I'm not trying to fix you. I'm creating connection, community, and a safe space to talk. Isn't that refreshing in the world that we're living in at the moment?
Yes.
A place where you can talk safely without being judged, without being told that you're wrong or there's something wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. You're a normal human being going through lots of different changes in your life. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes. And we're gonna put links within our show notes to your website and to
thank you.
Your coaching also.
Yeah. Well, again, Sean, thank you. And you know, I would dare say that Brian and I would not be sitting here today doing this podcast were it not for the work of you and Gay Fathers Worldwide that brought us together.
So humbled to be here on this podcast. I love seeing what you're doing with this podcast. So don't stop talking and share what you're going through. Most importantly, it's not about, as you said, Mark, it's not about covering it up with rainbows. Talk about the hurt. Talk about the sadness. Talk about what we all go through, because we are normal human beings. We are allowed to be having crappy days. You know, it's not an easy journey.
No.
But I don't think anyone's going through an easy journey. So let's all celebrate it and, you know, give each other a hug when we need it.
Exactly.
But I'm so happy to be here. Right, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much, Sean.
Pleasure.
And to all of our listeners, please write to us at comingsideout@gmail.com. And if you like what we hear, please like us on your favorite podcast app. Leave some comments. Let us know how we can continue to serve all of you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.